Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for iOS Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
Smaller devices and recycling robots.
And I'll show you how you can write screenplays on your new iPad Pro.
Plus, we're swapping faces again.
Again? On iOS Today is brought to you by PillPack, a full-service online pharmacy that combines modern technology, convenient packaging, and personalized service to make your life easier. Visit PillPack.com/twit to save $20 on vitamins and over-the-counter meds when you transfer your prescriptions. And by Gazelle, the online marketplace for buying and selling used gadgets. Shop from a variety of certified pre-owned electronics or trade one in for cash. Give new life to a used device at Gazelle.com today. And by the Ring Video Doorbell. With Ring, you can see and talk to anyone at your door from anywhere in the world using your smartphone. It's like caller ID for your home. Right now, get free expedited FedEx shipping when you go to ring.com/iOS today. The new iPads are here. Well, I guess pads.
And not here.
These
are these old pieces of garbage.
Let's throw those iPad Pros out. Hello, everybody. Welcome to iOS Today. Leo Laporte.
Megan Maroney.
And we've just come off the Apple event in Cupertino at their campus. The new, we'll call it the Spring 2016 event, in which they announced a lot of stuff for iOS users. New iPhone, new iPad, new Apple TV update, new iOS update, and we're going to talk about it all here right now.
Yes. They
everything
also,
we know.
Right. Also the Apple Watch
bands.
Price. Apple Watch bands.
Oh, and a price drop is a big story. No, this is, if you're buying the Sport, they didn't mention a price drop on the $10,000 edition. I don't know why, but they did mention that the Sport, not even the Stainless, has a drop, and the Sport will drop $50.
Yeah, to $299. And they actually have been getting a little bit of criticism online for that joke that he made about, oh, people are using laptops that are 5 years old. And everyone laughed. And so we were kind of joking about these old pieces of garbage. And we know that this device is not a piece of garbage. It's still great.
But I have to say now, having seen the new iPad Pro, when we talk about this device, we're talking about our iPad Pros. We're both using them on the set. Now that I've seen the new iPad Pro, I'm very interested in getting one of them. You know, one of the main reasons? For a long time, I've criticized Apple because they never put a camera in the iPad that was as good as the camera on the iPhone. And frankly, that's all you see nowadays, is people using their iPads for photography. And finally, it looks like they did it. The new iPad Pro, which is 9.7 inches, the size of the iPad Airs, will have a camera that, as far as I could tell, is functionally identical to the 6S camera. It's 12 megapixels. It's got the pixel-based focusing. It's using the new processor to do a lot of processing to the image. It's going to be nice. This is an iPad Air size Pro, basically. It has the pencil. It has four speakers, as the iPad Pro does. Better camera than the Pro. And some features the Pro doesn't have. For instance, ambient light sensors that will automatically change the tone, the color tone of the screen based on the light in the background. And when we did the event, I asked Alex Lindsay, who's an illustrator, designer, is that something designers want? He said, yeah, as long as it you can set it and then not have it change all the time, because you don't want it to change in the middle of a design. But it is true, the ambient light as you're doing something will affect the color on the screen. And so you want to make sure, if you want color-accurate screen, that the screen's sensitive to this. Also, a better screen for color representation. And I think a lot of people are using the Pro now for, as this woman is in the iPad ad, for photo retouching and editing. Lightroom, the Adobe products are amazing on the Pro. The Pencil is a really nice user interface for that. So this is timely. I think I want to get one.
Yeah, it's 12.9-inch. It has the same materials as the 12.9-inch iPad that we have now, but it's 9.7 inches. Mm-hmm. A9X processor, 64-bit chip.
Motion coprocessor. It comes in several flavors. They've added a new size. So it's got the 32 gigabytes. That's going to be $599. It is pricey. For $150 more, you can get 128 gigabytes. And then for, what is it, another $150 more, you can get 256 gigabytes. The iPad Pro will also, the big iPad Pro, we got to get a name for these. The Papa iPad Pro will also get a 256 gig storage version. The baby iPad Pro will have it. I guess the mini
we'll
is going to be
the baby.
We'll
call it number 9 because it's 9 inches versus number 12. I don't know.
iPad Pro 9, iPad Pro 12. Mm-hmm. Let's do it.
But yeah, so the 9, the smaller one, baby 9, see, I can't even call it 9. The high end, the biggest one is $900, which is about what I, or shall I say you, paid for this iPhone.
Yeah. Yeah, it's actually a little bit less. I think we'll end up getting these. What I really want to do, though, before I buy, by the way, availability is Thursday, March 24th, for shipping March 31st. So, yes, I'm going to probably get up at midnight, and I'm going to be on the East Coast, so 3 a.m., midnight California time, to order that iPad Pro. Or maybe I could just wait in line at the Fifth Avenue Apple Store. Ooh. I've never been there. It'd be kind of fun to go there.
Yeah.
And it'll be available on the 31st. But what I want to see before, try before I buy, is the keyboard. Because while I think this keyboard works quite well, this is the Apple keyboard case that comes, doesn't come with, but it's made for the iPad Pro. And it's really typable. I mean, you can really, it's a full-size keyboard. If you reduce that iPad to 10 inches, keyboard's going to be about there. Are these going to be closer together, smaller keycaps, or both? I'm not sure how they're going to handle it. So I really want to take a look at it. It looks very similar on the screen, but I'd really like to type on it and see how usable it is.
What about Ethernet, the Ethernet dongle?
Isn't that weird? And Alex Lindsay was very excited about that. That's a limited market, but there's never been a way to plug in an Ethernet cable into an iPad. Apple announced they're going to offer a dongle, the whole new array of dongles, including an Ethernet dongle, a camera connection kit dongle. That was updated not so long ago, but I don't know if it'll be better than the one that's currently being sold. It's pretty fast. They're going to have one that takes a Type-C connector for faster charging. That's nice, especially if you have a MacBook. You can take your MacBook Type-C charger and plug it into this connector and charge your iPad Pro faster. So this is, the product's maturing. This is the second version of it. Small, but I think not insignificant improvements all around.
The other small announcement was the iPhone SE, which we knew they were going to announce, but it's still nice to see that we were right.
This is to replace the 5 and the 5C. I don't know if Apple's still selling 5C, but they were selling 5S, I guess. It's that size, Apple iPhone 5S size, but all the guts of an iPhone 6S. Mm-hmm. So the faster A9 processor, the motion coprocessor, that means you can say, hey, Siri. Did you like how Phil Schiller did that?
Yes,
he paused.
That's good.
That's our new technique.
Yeah.
So we don't wake your phone up. You can now say, hey, Siri, to your phone. It's always listening. The camera is going to be the same. The only thing missing, as far as I can tell, is the 3D touch. Mm-hmm. They're not going to do that. And, by the way, Apple Pay will now work, which is great. And the styling is a little interesting. It's a hybrid kind of between the iPhone 5 and the iPhone 6. Curved, but not as curvy as the iPhone 6.
Yeah, so same with that. You can order it on Thursday, March 24th for delivery on March 31st. One hopes.
$399 starting price.
Yeah, for the 16 gigabyte. Who wants
that? Which we generally don't recommend you buy, but for this phone, maybe there'll be more people. That, you know, if your needs are few, if you're one of those iPhone users or your family members are an iPhone users that don't install lots of apps, or put a lot of music or video or audiobooks on your phone, well, then 16 might be enough. But for most people, I think you're going to want to go up to the next step up, which is not 32, but 64, right? It goes 16.
Yes.
Is that right? 16
yes,
to 64.
And that's $499.
$100 more. Mm-hmm. That's probably the one you want. I think this looks like a great choice. I mean, it's nice to... It's for people who want smaller phones, but also people who don't want to spend as much money. Mm-hmm. I think this is a nice choice. And it does come in rose gold. In fact, rose gold's available across all the new devices, which is, I guess, good. I like rose gold.
I do. I do like it, yes.
And the regular gold and the silver and the titanium.
So the Apple Watch, we talked about that briefly. Not much besides the price drop, those NATO bands. I think those are stylish. I like the NATO bands. They're polyester. Is that what they are? No.
Nylon.
Nylon. Still waiting for a polyester
and
band.
And not exactly, when we say NATO band, we really think of something that's more military looking. Mm-hmm. This is a little more refined than that. The
what
colors.
What do you think they're aiming at with this?
You know, I think somebody doesn't want to wear a plastic / rubber band, mm-hmm. like the sport model, but isn't really interested in a metal band, might be very interested in a nylon band. They're good for, you know, sports. They breathe. Mm-hmm. They can take, you know, they can get wet. They can get sweaty. I think they're a little bit, I sometimes wear a metal band I have a Milanese loop, and mm-hmm. I sometimes wear it when working out, like in spin class. And it's kind of just, I feel like I probably would wear a nylon band. Would yeah. be better than the metal band. And I'm not crazy. You're wearing
wear the sport and sweat through.
What do you call it? Elastra?
Fluoroastomer? Fluoroastomer?
Fluoroastomer.
I call it perfect.
Yeah.
But I wondered if the lighter colors were getting sweaty and discoloring, if that was an issue, the white or the pink, if that was why they, you know, because I've been sweating in this one for about a year. And
well, you wouldn't want to wear leather for sure.
No.
So I think it's just giving a sporty types yes. one more option.
One more option. I like it.
Yeah, and there's also a black Milanese loop,
mm-hmm.
And
space
then a lot more
black.
New colors. Look at all the new colors in leather. I like this quilted leather. What do they call that? The weird ribbed
modern
leather.
Modern buckle?
Yeah, I like how it's. That's kind of surprising. If you've not touched that or felt it, go to the Apple Store. It's very soft and flexible. It's supple. It's not how you think it, at least not how I thought it might feel.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually a very comfortable band. I guess everybody wants you to buy more bands, right?
Yeah. All right. Well, so everyone was kind of wondering what they would say about the encryption debate, if they would say anything. Many suspected they wouldn't say anything. I think they couldn't have ignored it at all because it was the elephant in the room. And I like how Tim Cook handled it. He was the first, right out of the top of the speech, he started talking about just vaguely referring to the encryption debate and how they are protecting your privacy. He said, we need to decide as a nation how much power the government should have over our data and over our privacy, he said. He also was breaking up a little bit. I don't know if you noticed that. And I find that I do that too when I'm talking about something that I'm super emotional about. My voice cracks. I don't think he's faking. I'm not either, for the record.
He said, we did not expect to be in this position at odds with our own government. I thought that was a nice way to put it. We don't want to be at odds with the government, but we, and this is the salient quote, believe strongly that we have a responsibility to help you protect your data and protect your privacies. We owe it to our customers, and we owe it to our country, and we will not shrink from the responsibility. I thought that that was, in a nutshell, you know, it was a very brief statement.
Mm-hmm.
I frankly expected 10 or 15 minutes. Making the case, last chance to make the case before tomorrow's court date. But no, I think he said exactly the right thing. And by being brief, I think he made his point even more clear. We owe it to our customers, and we owe it to our country, and we will not shrink from this responsibility. I thought it was very, very well spoken. And yes, I believe you're right. Very strongly heartfelt
mm-hmm.
From Tim Cook. In fact, you know, Apple's CEO really has put his stamp on the company mm-hmm. because after Tim spoke, then they brought out Laura, was her name Laura Jackson? Lisa Jackson, their head of environmental policy. For 16 years at the EPA, she was administrator of the EPA through 2013 when Apple hired her, and spent a long time talking about Apple's commitment to environmentally friendly manufacturing and products, and even showed off, and I think a lot of people remember this, Liam,
mm-hmm.
the disassembling robot, the robot that recycles iPhones. One of the knocks that Apple gets is that iPhones are kind of a disposable product that no recycler really can be expected to disassemble and get to the components. That takes some real skill. Modern computers in general need to be disassembled. There's heavy metal in there.
Mm-hmm.
There's dangerous chemicals. There's valuable metals in here. But how do you take it apart? So Liam is a robot Apple design. And what Apple's doing is encouraging you to take your iDevices back to Apple when you're done with them and let Apple recycle them, because they can literally disassemble these in an automated fashion. I'm sure there's many Liams, not just one.
Not just one. And, you'd be busy if there was just
one. Yeah. And using specialized tools that only Apple has, take this apart and recycle them. He said it's interesting, not merely recycle them, but reuse them. Those screws could be reused.
Yeah. The silver could be used for solar panels. That's what they gave specifics. I thought that's interesting. I think the tungsten could be reused for something else also.
And, of course, Apple doesn't pay you for your used iPhones, so there might be some actual revenue for Apple in all of this. But it's also the right thing to do.
Yeah. I mean, I love robots, and we were talking before the show, and we often talk about how they take your jobs. But there's a whole lot of jobs that are dangerous.
Nobody wants this job.
That robots can do.
Yeah.
And so that people can do less dangerous jobs.
Good.
As a result of them. Yeah. So. And then they talked about health, which is another big issue for them. And
this is, again, Tim Cook. I really feel like Steve Jobs was dragged kicking and screaming to the environment by Greenpeace that really protested Apple's policies. Not that they were any worse than any other electronics company, but they picked Apple as kind of a poster child for this. And Cook, Jobs kind of went along for it, but you feel like Cook's really believes in it. And the same thing with his health initiative. Mm-hmm. This is something I feel like Tim is very much behind.
Yeah. So they announced CareKit, which will be available in April. I thought that was really fascinating just because I think a lot about all of the data that we are tracking on ourselves and what do we do with it and how is it really helping us besides just making us feel guilty because we didn't walk enough steps yesterday. So they're going to start with Parkinson's disease, but right now if you're watching the video, you can see that they have an autism app that comes from ResearchKit. So research is where the research is happening and CareKit is where, from what I understand it, is real change can happen in health.
Yeah, your doctor would have to be using it. You'd use it in conjunction with your doctor. Your doctor would use it to monitor your care if you have diabetes, for instance, to monitor how you're taking care of it, how your blood sugar is, things like that. I think this is a great idea. Apple is faced with this challenge that they don't want to sell these products that require FDA approval, and they have to be very careful about that. But if this is used in conjunction with a physician, this what you're seeing right now is a really interesting tool that they're using at Duke to diagnose autism in children as young as 18 months. They show them images, and the iPhone records the child's face and judges the emotional range that the child is showing. And these researchers at Duke are trying to figure out if they can use that to diagnose autism at a very much younger age than typical.
Mm-hmm. And CareKit is open source also, they said.
Yeah. No, I think this is a great initiative. I asked you, and I don't know, I don't think any of us know any physicians that use this or anybody who's using it. I'd be very interested if my doctors kind of adopt this. Right now, the way they monitor you is really fairly primitive.
Yeah.
So I'd be very interested to see. And they called it a precision medicine, this idea of designing medical treatments specifically to you. Everybody agrees is the future of medicine, but it's difficult and expensive to implement. These kinds of things would help a lot.
And I think doctors have been traditionally afraid of this kind of technology. Like they're not welcoming, they think, well, I know what I'm doing. I don't need this newfangled technology. Not all doctors, but I get a sense of that generally, especially doctors on the older end.
I wouldn't, afraid maybe, but I think more likely skeptical.
Skeptical.
And I think that that's reasonable. I mean, I think it's reasonable if you're a physician or a teacher to be skeptical about just the rapid adoption of technology in these disciplines. If you're doing it just because it's faddish, because it's technology, it's got to be better. Mm-hmm. That's the wrong reason to do it. But if Apple can demonstrate a real value, and I think they were smart to start with universities and research and then get a foothold that way. So if they could go to physicians and hospitals and say, look, we've got this research, we've found out this, and we have this tool based on this research that we think could help you with maintaining your patient's health, that would be an easier sell than just saying, hey, go out and buy this hot new product, this hot new technology. It's great. You're going to love it.
Yeah.
So I'm glad they're skeptical. Mm-hmm. I don't think they should rush to adopt something like this.
Yeah, I had this discussion with some friends of mine who have done the 43andMe kind of genome.
23andMe. If you have 43, you're in trouble. You're a mutant.
23andMe. And brought it to their doctors, and their doctors have said, I don't know what that is.
It's not useful for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's starting. I had a friend who brought it to a new doctor, and they said, let me just keep this and take a look at it and see what I can glean from it.
Remember that 23andMe got trouble with the FDA because they were making claims for these genetic tests that they really couldn't.
It might not have been that one. It was one of those.
I think about that kind of stuff is, it's very early days. And 23andMe was a very inexpensive, it was like $100 somewhere like that, and was very limited in the kinds of things they could test for. But the day will come when you can get a full gene sequence on your patient. That I would think any doctor would like to look at.
Yeah.
The problem is, it's all in its infancy. We still don't know, well, what sites to look for. If it's sickle cell anemia, we know, but many other diseases, we don't know what the genetic component is. We don't know what genetic sites to look at. And even if you knew, it may not be helpful. Would you want to know if I could look at your genome and say, well, you've got about 93% chance of getting Parkinson's in 20 years. Would you want to know that? I guess you would.
This was part of the discussion. I don't want to know any of that stuff. I saw Gattaca. I don't want to.
Your physician might, because there may be treatments that can, prolong good health, defer the disease. So there may, in some cases, there may be reason to know that.
Mm-hmm.
There's also the issue of insurance companies. You don't want your insurance company to know that you're going to have Parkinson's or might have Parkinson's in 20 years. They may deny you coverage.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a pre-existing condition, or is it? I don't know. It's in your genes. I don't know.
Well, we can talk about some updates, but maybe we should talk about one of our sponsors
Let's take a break, and then what we're going to do, iOS 9.3 is out. Apple TV, I don't know, what's the version number?
OS.
That
has? TV OS 2? I don't know.
All right.
TV OS new.
New. And so we're going to show you some of the new features. In fact, I think what we're going to do, Megan has not upgraded, I have. She's got the notes on what's new, and I'm going to, the best of my ability, walk through that on our iPad in just a little bit. So what's new, and there's a lot of new stuff. But first, I'll tell you about, talk about precision medicine. How about a precision pharmacy? I'm talking about PillPack. It's a better pharmacy. It's an online pharmacy that delivers your meds to you in this new package. This is the PillPack right here. And you can see on the back of it is your name, the date, a picture of every medication you're taking, which is really cool, the dosage, and dosing instructions from your physician. The PillPack, I wish I had my pill pack, but I guess I probably don't want to take it.
Probably not.
Take
That's
it
what
to
we were
work.
Talking about before. Someone could
so
use that.
So somebody could take my pills. You got my pills, but I'll show you. This is Elliot's pill pack. He's just a sample pill pack. So when it comes, you say, here's your new pill pack. And you see that it's got the date, the time, the hour that you're supposed to take it, what's in it. You just tear it off. They said don't tear them off because we don't want to ruin this, but I don't care. I'm going to tear it off.
They're easy to tear.
All right. I'm not going to. Debbie's giving me the eye. I won't tear it up. But you get the idea. You tear that off, and now there's never a question, did I take my pills this morning? No, because it's not here, then you didn't take them. If it is, you did. Did it, or vice versa. Also, I'm traveling. I'm going to go to New York. I just pop the pouches for those days in my suitcase. It's the easiest way to make sure you get the right meds at the right time, and they deliver them to your door in a timely fashion. Note, by the way, you get, if there's stuff that doesn't fit in the pouch, like ointments or inhalers, you still get those. This is a full-service pharmacy. You're more accurate, easier to use, simple. They'll handle any issues with your doctor or insurance. You don't have to, which is great. They do support almost all kinds of insurance, including most forms of Medicare Part D. This is really a great pharmacy. Oh, I love this, too. There's a pharmacist there 24/7 that you can call and talk to in the privacy of your own home. No more embarrassing conversations in the drugstore. Time magazine recognized PillPack as a top 25 invention of the year. Jill Duffy, editor's choice at PC Magazine. And I want you to try it right now. PillPack.com/twit. There's no additional cost, just your regular copay. But they'll make sure your insurance takes care of it. So call them, set it up. And if you transfer your prescriptions over, they're going to give you a credit worth $20 worth of vitamins and OTCs. 5 minutes. That's it. That's all it takes. PillPack.com/twit. You'll love the site. You'll love your new PillPack. And show your friends when you get it. Because I tell you, it's great. You know how friends sometimes come when they visit your house, they look in your medicine chest? I just say, hey, go look at my PillPack. It's all in there. They got pictures and everything. But also, they love it. They go, I want that. And great for family members, too. You know, if you have older parents who maybe they don't remember they take their medication, this is such a great idea. PillPack.com/twit. Try it today.
All right. So iOS 9.3.
Should we walk through it?
Yeah, we both installed it on our iPhones.
But you were reluctant to install it on your iPad
before
the show.
I thought I might wait, but let's do it.
I
did it. It took
It's actually good you didn't, because once you install it, you can't read the update notes. You have to go to Apple's site and find them. But you have the notes here saying what's new. So shall we go through it and maybe I can demonstrate some of these on my updated iPad Pro.
So you're going to gain some improvements to your notes, news, health.
Wait a minute. Hey, you're running too fast. Let's start with notes. You said notes. So Apple's Notes, which has always been kind of a rudimentary program. A lot of us use fancier programs like Evernote. Well, one thing they've added is the ability to import your notes from Evernote. That's awesome. And you can also, here's all my notes. You can also, and you have to do this, by the way, as usual with Apple. You can't do it in Notes itself. You have to go to the settings and then Notes. You can now lock your notes. And this is, I think, nice because a lot of us put stuff in our notes that we want to keep private. You'll have to set a password first. Let's say monkey 123.
Safest password
monkey
there is.
Monkey 123. And I'm just going to say my tip is the usual. All right. And then notice I can also have a setting for using Touch ID. So now I have locked my notes. I can use the fingerprint reader to view the locked notes. This is great. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, even Evernote doesn't have a very good system. It's note-by-note encryption. This is really great. And we know we can trust Apple to keep this stuff secret. So you can, and this is interesting, create a new password for notes going forward, but you can't obviously change the password for old notes. So if you forget your password, I think you're out of luck. Mm. All right, what was my password again? Anyway, so that's one thing. Export to import from an Evernote export is another one. Although we're puzzled about it because, as far as we could tell, the export from Evernote has to happen on the desktop.
But then so it doesn't long press. It says you long press the. So maybe
it doesn't make
your
any sense to have this in iPad when you probably what you would do because Apple sync. If you have a Macintosh, your notes sync.
Maybe you sync it across iCloud. And
you'd have to sync it over iCloud and then open it. It's anyway
very confusing. If you know
a lot of
way,
us are looking for an alternative to Evernote.
Yeah, because if notes, you go in the help in Evernote in your phone, it says here's how to do it on Windows and here's how to
do it on
Mac. You
can't do it on iOS.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
All right, you can sort notes alphabetically by date created
date
edited.
That's nice to have those features.
Do you use your pencil to sketch in notes? You can quickly bring up a fresh canvas with the two-finger swipe.
Let me try that. So here we are. We're in a drawing notes. And actually, this is great for handwriting, you know. So I'm going to write this as a note. And then two-finger swipe will give me a new one. Oh, rock on,
yeah.
Daddy-o.
Isn't that nice?
I heart that.
And I think we mentioned this, but on the off chance that we did not, you'll be able to use the pencil on the new iPad, the iPad 9.
I hope we mentioned that. That's the biggest part of it, right?
I think
the
we
pencil.
Mentioned it, but it's worth mentioning.
What do you think? Do you think all iPads going forward will have pencils? Like, that's just going to be the way it is.
Maybe. What about phones? Is that going
to
be the next thing?
Really? Really? You want to use the pencil on the phone? I don't know. I think that will be the distinguisher between an iPad and
what
an
if
iPhone.
Our phones are going to be this big? What if our phones
Maybe.
Are going to be 10 inches?
You mean like as big as, say, an iPad?
Yeah, who knows? A new checklist button at the bottom of every note.
This is good. I use this.
Lists.
I like to make lists.
I'm a list maker, too.
Yeah. So let's see. I'm in here, and I started a list, but what if I tap this button? Now this is going to be a checklist, and anything I add is going to have a little dot next to it. Or if I bought the book, which I did, I could check it off.
Mm-hmm.
How about
These are, people will probably point this out, features that were available in other
every
apps.
Other app.
Yeah. Like in paper, you just swipe to make it a bulleted list or swipe to make it a...
But do you get this one free with the iPad?
Yeah, it's there.
And it's actually a decent app because it syncs. If you use a Macintosh, it syncs to desktop. Mm-hmm. It syncs through iCloud. I think it's pretty good.
You can choose whether photos and videos taken within Notes are stored only in Notes or also added to Photos.
That's a nice feature. It's a nice way to take notes. Let's say you're at a meeting and you've got a picture of a whiteboard. Just put that right into your notes.
Mm.
It's awesome. And now it will also go not just to notes, but now I have a picture of the carpet. If we ever need, by the way, a picture of the carpet, just I have one.
Do you know where I see this coming in handy as well? I often take photos of important documents, tax documents and such, and then you realize when you open your photos that they're in there. They're in your photos.
So you may not want that.
You want it. Maybe you want to protect it. That's when you use the encryption. So you take a picture of your...
That's probably why they did it.
Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah, you have a choice then.
Right. So I really like that. All right. So night shift.
That's notes.
Notes.
Did we mention there's also new news features? We kind of glossed over that. News is not my favorite.
News is not my favorite either. But I don't think we've talked about that. Now anyone can put things in news. You could, your blog could be in news.
People could subscribe to it.
Mm-hmm.
It also, I think, is going to have top stories, features, things like that. I never use news, but maybe as Apple improves things, I'll be more likely to use it. It's just, you know, I've got Flipboard, I've got Nuzzle, I've got so many other options. News isn't the first thing that
a way to go. Did you want to talk about night shift when enabled?
Yeah, let's show it. Now, it's a little tricky for us to show it because can you just turn it on or do you have to, where is it, first of all?
That's a great question.
Well, we're learning this together because we've all just upgraded.
Yeah, you could search for it.
So is it in general? I'll search for it. That's a good idea.
Settings.
NIGHTSHIFT.
If only you could use 3D Touch to search settings.
I don't see where we put that in there. I don't see no sentence for night shift. Is it in the Do Not Disturb? The key with this is it's going to know your geographic location. So it knows when sunrise and sunset occurs. And it knows what time it is. So it's supposed to happen automatically. It shifts the color of the screen. You can see even now it's kind of bluish. The theory is, I'm not a big believer in this theory. Everybody's kind of accepted it, but it feels like a fad to me. The theory is that the blue light coming from screens is tricking your brain into thinking it's daytime. So if you use an iPhone or an iPad at night, your diurnal cycle will be screwed up. Your circadian rhythm will be screwed up because your brain says, well, wait a minute, it's not night, it's daytime. I find this very, very far-fetched. We've had artificial light for 100 years now. I don't know if this is something new. However, if you're one of those people, there's always been ways to do this. F-Lux was a program a lot of people used. Android has similar programs. In fact, there have been similar programs on the iPad, but Apple's decided that, well, they want to include that. So it'll slightly shift or dramatically shift, if we can find the settings, the colors of the screen from bluish to yellowish. Is that nighttime to your brain? I don't know. Does the brain know about incandescent lighting? I don't know.
I don't know. The science is out. But we're told you swipe up as if you were, like, to get to those settings. That's
so it's in the control panel.
Yeah.
Or control, whatever they call that.
Yeah, so I saw it on my phone.
Is it this?
Yeah, that's it.
All right, so good. We found it. There you go. So it's in the little control center down here. There's a new button. It's kind of like a clock. Night shift, can it automatically adjust the colors of the display at night? Now, you can set a schedule in here. And you can also, and this probably is really important, shift the color. So let me turn it on, and you'll see a shift immediately from the light blue. Actually, on our cameras, this looks like probably your iPad does at home. To my eyes, it looks very yellowish. It's almost like parchment paper. I can make it less warm, bring it back, and now at this point, it's pretty much like it used to be. Or I could really make it more warm. I am not a big fan of this, but I'm sure people would like it. You can have a schedule, just the times you want. You can manually enable it. And I'm told there is that it also will notice your time of day. So it's in the display and brightness section of your settings, but it's also something featured in Control Center. So there you go, night shift. So you can just turn it on in Control Center like that.
I think it's a good idea to put your devices to bed, whether or not the science is there.
See, that looks to me, Anthony, doesn't that look like how it's supposed to look?
Yeah, I'd actually like you to keep that on.
I'm going to keep that on. From now on, this is how we're going to shoot it.
Excellent.
So that's who this is really for, is people who do TV shows about the iPad.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Will be on the iPhone as well.
Yeah, I just did it on my iPhone.
9.3.
All right, health improvements. Related third-party apps for select data types such as weight, workouts, and sleep are displayed in the health app.
And other apps have access now to activity information and so forth. So it's now a two-way street, which
right,
I think is good.
Yeah, because it's hard to know what apps are going to use the health app.
Right.
Some things we've already talked about. Third-party apps now have access to activity rings and summaries from Apple Watch through HealthKit. I like that because I like my rings. You know, I'm a bit of a slave to the rings. And if I use another app, I want the rings to roll over.
You're a slave to the rings?
I'm a slave to the rings. I am. My rings are not looking very good today. Need some more exercise.
She's a slave to the rings.
You know what I'm talking about. My activity rings, my Apple Watch.
I know where you're coming from,
You know
bro.
What I'm coming from?
I could dig it. Oh, here's, by the way, they say go into the schedule deeper for night shift, and you'll see sunrise to sunset. So you could say, based on my location and time, I can do it this way. Or I could do every Monday at about 1:30 p.m. Pacific time, 4:30 Eastern, 20:30 UTC, go into night shift for about an hour and a half. And then Anthony Nielsen will be happy. I don't think I can schedule it that way. That's our job, really,
to keep him happy.
It's my job.
A few Apple Music improvements. You can add songs from the Apple Music catalog to playlists without having to add them to your library.
That's nice. So you don't have to kind of download them and then add them to the playlist. Yeah. Playlist could reflect the fact that you have access to Apple Music.
Yeah, that was one of those annoying things that just makes you stop using Apple Music because it's one extra step.
But how nice is it to make playlists? And have 30 million songs to choose from. That's fantastic.
You can watch music videos on your iPad in full screen. I hope you've been looking to do that.
And by the way, we should mention, because it's been a real sore spot for many of you, podcasts also now allows full screen video. So you can watch our show in the podcast app and use the whole screen.
The whole 12.7 inches or 9.7 inches, depending on. Yeah, that was something that when you just shook your head. SMH, as the kids say these days. Why we have to wait for that?
Sugar my heck. Sugar my hill. Sugar my...
You can tap the name of the currently playing song and now playing to go to the album in Apple Music.
Who knew you couldn't?
I know. I think this is... If you've already moved on from Apple Music, you're probably not going to go back for
mini
these
fixes.
Reasons.
Yeah.
So iBooks... This is something that has been another thorn in our side.
And I complain.
We have...
Because I use iBooks to store PDFs. One of the things I love to do with iBooks, and of course there's third-party apps that will do this, but I love to store manuals for, like, here's my old, tattered Leica M3 manual. I store it in iBooks because, this is a great way to have your manuals, right? Or other PDFs. So the problem was I download it on one device, but I can't read it on any other device. Well, they've fixed that now in iBooks. How do I get out of this? There we go. Back to the library. PDFs are now syncing along with all the books that you have. So this is really fantastic. Thank you, Apple, for doing that.
Yeah, that was something that we just frustrated. Another SMH.
Shake my head.
There are a lot here. Let's try to go. There was a... Maybe you heard the story about the vulnerability in iChat that the Washington Post reported.
So this is our hero... At Johns Hopkins University, Matthew Green, who's a cryptographer, really smart guy. He took his graduate students and he said, by the way, this is all a positive. Even Green says, no, this is how it works. Crypto there's really easy to make mistakes in crypto. And so you should never trust crypto that it isn't open and people are banging on it all the time because that's how you find the problem. So he took his graduate students, they banged on iMessage and they found a hole. They found a way... I didn't read the details, but probably wasn't something trivially easy to do, I'm guessing.
I think it was really hard. And it wasn't something that could have helped them with the San Bernardino phone.
No.
Either.
But it would be a way that a bad guy could listen into your conversations on iMessages. You don't want that. As is proper, Johns Hopkins and Matthew notified Apple first before going public. They went public today. Why? Because it's fixed in iOS 9.3, so nothing to worry about. But a good reason to upgrade. Mm-hmm. And as they pointed out on stage today in the Apple event, people really do upgrade. It is almost universal. Something, what did he say, 80%?
Yeah, I think he said 80%.
Of people are using the latest iOS. That's Apple's unique in that respect. And it's a good thing for security, if nothing else.
Yeah, I think this was interesting because it was basically saying, like, there's, no such thing as as going dark, I guess. Like, a really smart, like, if the FBI and a hacker can both get into these, this kind of encryption, there's no,
It's a man-in-the-middle attack, which is typically something pretty sophisticated.
Right. And as we said before, many of the ways you get through security is by using passwords like monkey123.
Yeah. That's a good password. Don't knock that password.
All right. So is there anything else that we've missed? There's a lot. There's a lot more bug fixes. You can, of course, read that, read through. There's lots of improvements, hardware improvements, CarPlay improvements.
Yeah. Boy, I wish I knew somebody who had CarPlay. That Ford's announced that their 2017 Escape, which will be available very soon, is going to be their first CarPlay car. I think Josh Windisch in our office, one of our editors, bought a Honda Civic that has CarPlay. I believe his Hondas, the Hondas do, the new Hondas do. So I can't wait. I think that's a nice feature, the ability to just have your phone, specific apps, not all your apps of your phone, up on your car's big screen display.
Safer, too. Handy.
Much safer.
And education improvements.
Yeah, and this we can't really test, but if you're using an iPad in schools, as we are here in Petaluma, it's very controversial. We didn't really talk about that last week.
But yeah, don't get me started.
Don't get me started.
Don't get me started on iPads and the kids.
But anything that helps school districts manage iPads. In Petaluma, they raised a bond and bought 7,000 iPads for every public school student K through 12 in Petaluma. And the reason it's been controversial locally here in our town is there's filtering, as there ought to be. And some parents say this filtering is not good enough. My kindergartners are able to see all sorts of stuff on these iPads. They need to improve the filtering. But then a high school senior said, it's too good. I can't do research for my papers because it's blocking stuff I need to see. And that's a good point, is that the things a kindergartner shouldn't see aren't the same as the things a high school senior shouldn't see.
And
it's very difficult to come up with a filtering scheme that works.
Filters don't work.
Terrible idea.
The filters don't work. You got me started. I mean, that's my argument here, is that anyone who complains that an iPad is your child's gateway to the bad things on the internet, I mean, the internet, most of those people complaining probably already had internet access.
Well, that's what I wonder. I suspect, and I watched the piece that the local news did, and one of the most vociferous parents, one of the things I suspect is that they don't let their kids on the internet. And so if you don't let your kids on the internet, then when the school comes along and gives them an internet device, well, of course they're upset.
Right. Yeah.
It's like I don't let my kids have candy, but they give them candy at the lunchroom.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's life.
Your kids absolutely. And you have to talk to your kids. I mean, that's the thing. And it's not like this is, having an iPad or having technology has made us suddenly have to talk to our kids. That's since the dawn of time. We have to talk to our children. We have to tell them they're going to see pornography on the internet. They're going to see things.
I prefer to think of it as sex education.
Just finding random things on the internet.
Sure.
Well, yeah.
You and I both have teenagers at home, same age. I'm sure your kids, certainly Michael, has access to the internet in a variety of ways.
Mm-hmm.
Not just the computers at home and the iPad the school gives him, but his friends' computers, his friends' phones. So there's got to be a better way than just trying to say, we can't let them see that stuff. There's got to be something, because they're going to be able to.
Yeah.
If they're motivated.
And you have to talk to them about it.
Well, we've had that conversation.
Yeah.
We have. And Lisa checks pretty regularly. I shouldn't say this too loudly. Checks his computer history every once in a while. And he's 13. One of the rules is we have to have your passwords, your login to your phone, your login to your computer. We control those because we want to be able to, if needed, periodically check.
Yeah. I mean, it's a constant conversation that you have to have with your kids. And it's unfortunate. I mean, it's the same as sex education. It's the same thing. You can say, why are you teaching it in schools?
It's internet education.
Sometimes parents don't talk to their kids about it.
Right.
So that, yeah, it is. Like I said, don't get me started. I feel really strongly about this.
Yeah. Now, one of our chatters, Neo, who is a tech guy and a very sophisticated computer guy, he says, I didn't use a computer till 13. So it's not like you're missing out. A kid doesn't have to have a computer in first grade, second grade, or third grade. And I think you're right. I think until the age of about 11, 12, 13, probably they're not doing anything important with a computer. I always say once the child is starting to write reports and doing research, that's an appropriate time to introduce the computer as a research tool.
Right.
And writing tool.
Yeah, and in the schools, they introduced a tool that no longer had a keyboard.
Yeah, I'm really, I strongly disagree with using iPads
in
schools.
I do too. And maybe this education, back to the education updates, maybe this will somehow make them as good as Chromebooks. I mean, because I think Chromebooks are so much better for the schools.
It was a perfect choice. I was very surprised when the school abandoned its Chromebook program. And then raised money to buy iPads, which are, I think, too expensive, too fragile.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of other issues with iPads in schools.
We're like the doctors. We're skeptical.
We're skeptical.
We're not
and
afraid.
We should be.
We're skeptical.
In my day, we had Olivetti's, and we were happy.
All right, so I think we covered the updates. Yeah, and we covered, let's see, you know, one thing we didn't cover last week that you probably already know, and many of the people listening, but I still can't really accept that closing all of your programs doesn't save your battery. And I know that, and I know because Craig Federighi emailed the guy back, like a guy emailed Tim Cook and said, is it true that closing all my open programs won't save my battery? And he said, yes.
In fact, it's quite the opposite. It's bad for your battery. So as you know, if you double tap your home button, and it's, by the way, this isn't just on iOS. This is on Android, on any device. You're going to have recents. And I watch Lisa do this all the time. She swipes through her recents and closes them all.
I can't stop doing it. I need to clean things up.
Doesn't do anything. And the point is, it might use more battery because you're now closing that program. And when you go back to it, it actually has to relaunch, reload. It will use more energy. All modern mobile platforms are designed to release resources. And Apple is much more aggressive. One of the reasons Apple gets good battery life, better battery life than most Android devices, they're very aggressive. After only a few seconds of a program going into the background, it will release the memory used by that program. It will turn off the CPU cycles used by that program. The program is in a hibernation state where it's just not using anything. However, it's still a little bit more of an active state than being off completely. And evidence is that clearing it out of memory entirely doesn't help. It actually worsens your battery life. The bottom line on any modern operating system is let the operating system do it, because these are modern. They're designed to be in these environments where resources are constrained, power is a premium, and so they know how to handle this, and they will handle it better than you will. So maybe in the earliest days they didn't. There's no benefit. Don't. And Craig Federighi said it, so you don't. I've been saying it for years. Nobody believed me.
Yeah, I didn't believe you. I still, it's like cognitive dissonance or something. I just can't believe
it. It's sitting there. It must be running. Most of the time, those are just pictures of something that once was run. There's not anything going on. As you know, Apple does allow backgrounding for some programs, but it's very limited the kinds of things they can do in the background.
Well, we should show the update of the Apple TV, but first maybe we should thank another sponsor. Thank a sponsor.
I'm sure I can find somewhere here in my little grab bag of sponsors. How about Gazelle? This would be a good time to do that.
Yes.
Whenever there's a new device released by Apple, it's time to go to Gazelle and get a quote on your old device. Maybe you don't want to buy a new iPhone or buy a new iPad, but there's no harm in getting the quote. Here's why. You're locking Gazelle in for 30 days. No commitment on your part, but Gazelle has now promised they will pay you at least that much for your old device. That gives you 30 days to think about it, to ponder, to order the device, to get it, to transfer your data over, and then pull the trigger. Gazelle will send you a box. They'll pay the postage, yes, and turn it around fast if you can't or forget to wipe the data. They will do that for you. The reason I say can't is they buy broken iPhones and iPads, so it may be broken, but they'll take care of that. And then they will send you cash or a PayPal credit or an Amazon gift card, and they'll bump the value of that 5% just because they're nice. In fact, I've had them bump the value of devices we've sent to Gazelle because they said, no, that's in better condition than you said. It's a great place to sell your old stuff. It's also a great place to buy your new stuff because, of course, the very best devices Gazelle buys can be sold back to you after a full inspection and refurbishing. The iPhone 6S, they sell the iPhone 6S Plus, the iPads, the Samsung Galaxy phones. They will never extend your carrier contract, but they do, of course, work with all major carriers in the U.S. They now provide financing on these devices from a firm. It's very simple. You do it right at checkout. You can pay in 3, 6, or 12 months through bank transfer, check, or debit card. All you have to do is check that box. It says financing with a firm. That makes it affordable. This is a great place to buy a device for one, to replace one that broke, or to get a device for a kid. All of them checked thoroughly. They have a 30-point inspection. Of course, you have a 30-day return policy. They even offer insurance from Assurant to cover water damage, cracked screens, hardware defects, and more. A 12-month warranty as well, if you choose it, at gazelle.com. This is such a great resource, both to buy and to sell. By the way, this is a good time to buy, too, because, of course, you're going to get a flood of old devices in. So this is a really great time to get a great price on a used device. Gazelle, I'm sorry, did I say used? Pre-owned. Gently worn. Gently used by little loving, wonderful people who have gently cosseted their phones and their tablets and protected them for your use later. Gazelle.com. They've been wrapped in lamb's wool.
All right. So the Apple TV got an update today.
And we did it. John did it. You know, the biggest thing, I'm very excited. They announced that there are now 5,000. What was that?
That was a different thing.
It was somebody else's TV. There are 5,000 apps. So one of the first things I noted was they've added folders,
okay.
Which means, although we don't have a lot of apps yet, as we get many more games, it'll be nice to just have folders you can put your apps into.
How do you think we do that?
I would say press and hold, see what happens. Does it jiggle, jiggle, jiggle?
No.
Come on, jiggle, jiggle, jiggle.
Nothing happened. Let's look at the purchased apps. Uh-oh.
We got to sign in as usual. And this is something that drives me crazy. But I understand why they do it. Whenever you do an iOS update. Mm-hmm. Oh, hey, we can speak the password now. You want to try that?
No, I don't want to do that at all.
Is it my account?
Password. I'll speak the password in your account, sure.
Meg Maroney.
Are you LeoVille.com?
Does anybody call you Meg?
Sometimes.
Okay.
People I really care about. Are you going to whisper it?
How can I do this? Dictation, let's use your voice to dictate text and spell usernames and passwords instead of typing them. Use dictation, yes.
Are you going to mute my mic too?
It worked.
That's awesome.
See, I anticipated some sort of thing of like capital X, lowercase y, percent. But that's exactly what I did.
Yeah.
And it worked.
Awesome.
So okay, that so is infinitely better than this thing where you're going to slash. I mean, the best way to do it probably is still using the remote app on your iPhone, but that's great.
So see if you can make some
folders.
So
how do we make folders? You think
try
it's going
to press
be
and hold on one of those? Because I was pressing and holding on the store. Or dragging them into each other. Can you drag them into each other?
You probably can't do in the store. You'd have to.
Yeah, I would think it would be actually in the in the downloads. Let's see. What I want to do is make a game folder.
You were
folder.
In your purchase step. Oh.
I want to make a game folder. Yeah. See the jiggle, jiggle?
Jiggle, jiggle.
Now.
Oh.
Now, this is more fun than playing Crossy Road.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Put it on the Rayman.
Yay! I have a games folder. You know what? That is great. Look at that.
That is good.
Look at that. So that was easy to do. Now I can put the Octodad in there.
And you can actually see in the folder, as opposed to on your iPhone, it's really hard to see what's in folders.
It's big enough that you can't.
Yeah.
So it's a little tricky to get in the folder. You have to hold it on top there. It'll do that. That actually is probably in some ways easier to do it than on an iPhone. Let's definitely make a Twit folder. What do you say?
Let's do it.
Because there are now 5 Twit apps. Count them. 5, thanks to our wonderful developers.
Maybe I should make folders in order to satisfy that feeling I have closing all the apps to save batteries.
Now, let me see. I want to name this something else, though. So let's get up here and see if I can do that. First, backspace, backspace, backspace.
Well, can you use dictation? Yeah, hold to dictate.
Twit. Nice. Nice.
This is the Apple TV I always imagined.
It's the Apple TV I always wanted. Oh, my golly gosh.
It just gets us, Apple TV.
Oh, Apple TV, you complete me. So I won't spend a lot of time. But that I think that's one nice feature, right? It took, how long did it take the iPhone to get folders? Years. So Apple TV update. What else is
there? Live photos, but I don't know if you...
Do we have our photo gallery on here?
Let's see. Maybe we should wait before we show it on the screen. It's
why
your
would
photos?
You say that? What do you... I have to sign in.
I don't know why I would say that. I was just, maybe you took a picture of a private document and then had it up there, and you didn't want to show that.
Oh, am I going to have to do this again? All right.
That's annoying.
So, I've discovered something else. You could say backspace. So, I made a couple of mistakes. Mystiques, no problem. Backspace.
Mm-hmm. Mystiques.
So, I don't even know what pictures are on here. Maybe you shouldn't show this screen. It's not on. All right. I honestly don't use this account for photos.
Oh, okay.
There may be not anything in here.
Because you're supposed to be able to see
this
live
may
photos.
Be where I put all my butt pictures. I don't know. It's loading. Anyway,
so that's cool.
Live photos. Apple really is all in on this. And I'm glad to see it because I remember we had something similar from HTC, the Zoe, But the problem was nobody else supported it, and HTC barely supported it, and it just kind of went away. Mm-hmm. But Apple's not giving up on live photos. Those are the photos that you take a still, but you also get motion around it from the time that you took the picture. And it displays on an iPhone, it displays on an iPad, and now it displays on the Apple TV. There you go, kind of like that. I think that's perfect, right? We'll play with that one at home later.
Okay.
Nice. What else? Anything else in the Apple TV? What we didn't hear is anything like live streaming television or new kind of app categories. They did show their great March Madness. I mean, that is a really, you can have split screens, watch two games
now,
at once.
Do you have to pay for that?
That's a good question. Probably not if you, I don't know how that works.
What happens if we try to play it right now? Is it live?
It's not, because there are no games on right now, right? Should I? I don't think we have it on here. Mm. I'll look for March Madness. Here's the schedule. I guess that's, is that really helping me now?
Oh, those are your purchased apps.
Yeah. It's interesting that it gave me information. All apps. Oh, no, this is not, I don't want purchased, right? I want to be, here we
top
go.
Top charts, probably.
Featured would be.
Yes.
Featured to be, oh, there's top the charts. You see it?
Yeah, I do.
MC2A March of Madness. Do you have to sign into your cable account, I wonder?
That's a good question. We'll find out right now.
They're going to, Major League Baseball, remember they showed this when they announced the new Apple TV, that Major League Baseball would also demonstrate this. Presented by LG and HBO Now. So I'm wondering if I have to, let's watch, shall we?
Yes, let's.
New, fresh,
I guess it's free.
Commercials.
Little ad, no problem. I don't mind. Swipe up. Advertisement in progress. Yes, I know.
HBO Now. Yes, I know.
So that's how they're doing this. This is supported by ads from HBO and LG.
What do you say to
LG.
Somebody who has had such
that's
a remarkable individual?
Neat. Swipe up for playlist. Now, how do I get a split screen? Maybe when the game's on, I can do that. This is cool. So if you're into the tournament, this is pretty cool. That's right. That's really neat.
Steve C. says all free right off the bat. No live games until Thursday, though.
But Thursday the games will go live. Okay. So right now it's highlights and analysis and stuff like that. Very
nice.
Good
to know.
Install that sucker.
Mm-hmm.
What else? What else?
I don't know what else about the Apple TV. I think they mentioned some new apps and. Alex Lindsay was funny because he said whenever anyone's app gets mentioned on an Apple event,
them.
They have, yeah. So there's some that I wanted to check out. One called Brain Pop looks like an educational app. I think the Apple TV is a great way to watch educational
Dungeon
stuff.
Dungeon Hunter, that might be kind of fun.
Or Dungeon Hunter.
Well, I could get educational or I could just kick some orc booty.
And Solar Walk, too, that was an app that...
Yeah, they showed that, but yeah. I don't think you're going to take your TV outside. I think that's really more...
You turn it in, Solar Walk, you look at with your phone. Yeah,
right.
But it's probably, I'm sure it has
is
features.
Is there a TV version?
I guess, where you can just look at it said it would turn your living room into a
planetarium.
Planetarium.
That's nice.
Which is also inside.
That's nice.
So, we'll check that out.
Okay.
Maybe review that next week.
What's the number one paid app? Sonic the Hedgehog.
Chickenhead21 says that it's free for the first 3 hours, then you must log in with your cable provider.
Yeah, that doesn't
assuming
surprise
March
me.
March Madness.
Yeah, that makes sense. So,
yes.
It's interesting how many of the top free apps are TV apps. Netflix, mm-hmm. YouTube, March Madness, Pandora,
yeah,
Hulu.
HBO Now, Netflix.
Yeah.
So,
well, it is a TV thing. And then most of the paid apps, games. There's Shadowmatic. That was the game you showed us last week as your app cap.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice.
Yep. All righty. Well, I have a few questions. Shall we take some questions?
Let's take some questions from the audience.
Okay. Actually, this is a comment. Stan writes about our discussion of health devices last week. He talks about Scanadu.
Scanadu.
It's a medical device that Stan says I have been using for a couple of years now, still being tested through Scripps to get certified with the government, but it works great.
And what does it do?
I think we have a little video that we can watch. It scans all of your vital signs.
It's like a tricorder.
Yeah. It looks like a little device that you hold up to
but
your head.
But you have
head.
To have there the hardware, I would guess.
Yes, you have to have...
The Scanadu
there
Scout.
It is.
Does it make your hair do that?
I hope not.
Mm-hmm.
But it looks like it's a little round device. Maybe Stan is in the chat room and could tell us what he uses it for. He's often Stan Hawaii.
There it is. That's the physical device.
So. And tips for getting your first scan. Let's get to it. To get started, when you open the box, you'll find your Scanadu Scout, a micro USB cable for charging, and instructions located on the inside of the box. To use your device, you need to first download the free Scanadu Scout app. Scanadu Scout has two sensor areas.
Where do you put it on your forehead?
I think you put it on your forehead. I watched another video where you held it up to your head.
Huh.
Like it was going to read
it
your...
It also has a power button.
Brain.
I feel like we're so close to kind of a tricorder thing, but most of these don't do very much yet.
And
I first make sure you're
look forward to the day when they do a lot more.
And I definitely would not have just read this from a random person, but you know Stan, he writes in a lot. He's a Hawaii cop, so and he says he's been using it for a while.
Look at that. Correctly. Always use your so what? It's going to measure your temperature.
Why?
Your heart rate.
You're creating an electrical circuit with your heart when you hold the device with your index finger on the top sensor.
But
and front facing
is this
sensors
giving you
touch
an
the
ECG?
Left side of your forehead.
What does it measure?
I don't know,
now,
but it's not.
Let's start the first.
It hasn't been certified yet, so I don't
apparently
know.
Apparently, we've reviewed it before, so.
Oh, we have?
I must have missed that.
Oh, here's Twit's review of the Scanadu Scout.
Neat. All right.
Okay. We've reviewed it.
Watch our review on YouTube.
All right, so Trenton Moody writes, I was wondering if you could help me. Being a cord cutter, I don't watch the news, just Netflix. I want to be informed about the election, but the only way I can keep up with the Democratic talks and debates is by occasionally Googling to see if there was one recently. I usually then find it on YouTube to save offline, to listen. When I listen to my other podcasts, I'm just looking for an app or a text alert or a podcast or YouTube channel to send me alerts when there is a debate or an upcoming debate.
You know, a lot of the debates were streamed on YouTube Live.
Mm-hmm. But he wants to know. He wants to watch it live.
Yeah.
But he wants to know.
So
when
you
it's
could watch
happen.
It live.
So there
if
is
you
an app
to.
Called 2016 Election App. Have you heard
perfect.
Of that?
No. Who does that?
It is.
Like the League of Women Voters or somebody.
It is by Nathan Ashworth.
Some guy.
So it apparently said it would alert you when the debates were happening. So. And you can get Democratic, you could get push notifications here. But the other option I...
Well, there you go. That's perfect.
Yeah. Was
that's
like an IFT. What about an IFT?
If this, then that?
Yeah, to get notifications.
But what would you monitor?
When the debate was happening. So send me a message
that?
When a debate was happening.
But, I mean, that's the key is that trigger.
Right. Well, it would
what
have to
trigger?
Be put through, I don't know, like
so
Fox
the way if this, then that,
the...
which is wonderful, works, is there's a trigger event and then there's a action event.
Well, I was hoping someone
the action
had already
event could
made
be a
recipe.
Text message, but what you need is a trigger event that knows about debates. I don't know. The problem is the debates are on different networks,
right.
so you could follow Fox.
You'd have to get one from Fox and get one from CNN, too.
There you go, presidential election updates.
Right,
that's from the New York Times.
Mm-hmm.
That might be a good start, right? At least get an email or a text message from the Times when there's an update on the elections.
There's also @debates Twitter account.
Ah, there you go. Twitter, of course. What are we thinking?
Yes.
If you can follow an account on Twitter... So if you can find an account that will do what you want it to do, follow that account. You can use If This Then That to text you whenever that account posts.
Mm-hmm.
So you can get the tweet as it comes across. This is the commission. What was that? The Commission on Elections?
Mm-hmm.
CPD on presidential debates. Ah.
Official Twitter feed. For
so
that. So
unfortunately,
not just, tweeting,
it's not
tweeting
just
about a lot
the
of
debates.
Stuff.
Yeah. But that's one way to do it. Is that's what Twitter really is all about, isn't
mm-hmm.
it? Is kind of these signals that something's happening. So If This Then That is a great idea. The trigger would be Twitter, and just find the Twitter account that does what you want it to do, whether mm-hmm. it's announce a new debate or update of a software program that you're following, and that way you can have a text message come to you immediately if you wish. Twitter will even do that. You can, but the problem is it's not granular enough. But Twitter, you can say text me whenever there's an update.
Right. There aren't that many debates. You could probably just put them in your calendar, too.
I
feel like there must be some app or some way that's just like, add these to my calendar. Someone should do that.
Yeah.
Carl in Phoenix asks, can you recommend a good tip calculator? I'd like one that doesn't want to access...
How about the Apple Watch?
That's what I was going to say. Or just Siri. He wants one that doesn't access everything on your phone.
Siri you could do. If you turn the Siri on... Now, people don't like this, but you can have Siri on while the screen is locked. Mm-hmm. So you could have ask Siri to calculate a tip, I think, while the screen is locked.
Yeah, no, well, you just say, like, what, I mean, what, like...
What's the tip on $25? And I haven't unlocked my phone.
An 18% tip is $4.50.
There you go.
Yeah.
So that's... I'm sorry, I wasn't holding it up.
No, mine did it to... Mine did it also.
To my voice?
Yeah.
Wow. You have a male voice in Siri, and I have a female voice.
So, yeah, that doesn't access everything on your phone, and it just tells you.
My phone is still not locked. You could pass this around to all your friends and try as they might to see your pictures. They couldn't.
But, if you wanted a calculator, you could unlock it, too, and then just tell everybody what the tip is. But you think everyone, that's what he wants, to pass it around so you can see what the tip is?
I can but speculate mm-hmm. on what his intent is.
Yeah, so... Carl in Phoenix.
Siri.
Or your Apple Watch. Siri on your Apple Watch.
Same thing.
All right. Last week we answered Keith's question about mind mapping. Do you remember that?
Yes.
And he wrote back. He said he wrote back to thank us. And he said he started mind mapping 20 years ago on paper and whiteboards. Yeah. That's what I was suggesting. Yeah. He said he stopped because his handwriting.
Well, it's great on the computer.
Bad. Yeah. Mainly, he said, my writing is so bad, the maps looked as though they'd been vandalized by inkpot dropping spiders. So he talked about how expensive the apps were, but he currently used his Meister. And he said he's used Prezi for presentations, but checked out the mind mapping.
Okay.
And then do you remember talking about Flow for Instagram? The app Flow for Instagram. This was on episode 126, long before my time. Gavin Southern from Melbourne, Australia, said he recommended it, and you and Sarah talked about it. But he wanted
Who's
to let
Sarah?
Us know.
Do I know her? Flow.
Sarah.
I don't. What does Flow do?
Flow gives you access to your Insta. It makes
okay.
it's an.
I found this on the web. About who is Sarah Love.
Sarah Love. Yeah.
Have you ever tried to use Instagram on your iPad? It's a horrible experience.
Yeah, and the one I was using, but the problem is Instagram is cutting off their API.
Right. That's
so
the. That's
anything
the point.
That we talk about is. It may not work going forward.
That is the point.
Retro
is
the one that you recommended, right?
Retro, yeah.
Yeah, and I continue to use Retro. Let me just see. Retro's still working, but who knows for how long, because Instagram, I haven't logged in here.
Right, they're cutting off their API, so that's the story.
They don't,
why do they do that?
Apparently they don't want people like Retro to do this, but if you don't offer an iPad app, then you should be glad that Retro has made one.
Do you think they're working on an iPad app, and that's... What's going on here? Why don't they want...
It's Facebook. They have enough money. They could if they wanted to.
Do they want people to use only Facebook on the iPad? What's the deal? Do they think people's pictures will start to not look so good on the bigger iPad? And so...
I'm going to look up... I'm not sure when the cutoff is for third-party apps on Instagram. Instagram cracks down on 30 third-party apps after password thefts.
Oh.
So that could be one of the issues. If these apps are misbehaved, this was in November of last year. I'm not sure what the drop-dead date is. Says, you know what?
1st of June.
Okay. Applications, only certain functions will be allowed. That means if you have an app, for instance, as a photo editor like Snapseed, that you then send the photo to Instagram, those will continue to work in most cases. But existing apps will have to June 1st to comply with Instagram's new policies, and they'll have to be reviewed by Instagram before the approval. So one hopes that a company like Retro will continue to offer it. We'll just make sure that they comply with Instagram's rules. But at least as of now, it continues to work until June 1st. Mm-hmm. I haven't used Flow. I remember Flow. Flow has a different kind of presentation, as I remember.
Yeah.
The Retro is really kind of like an Instagram app might look if it came from Instagram. It's quite nicely done, I thought.
Yeah, so Flow is free now if you want to use it for now. But
it's from Cogent Bangkok. And that's nice.
All right. Well, I think it's time to think.
They're saying, they're warning people Flow might stop working on 1st of June.
Right. That was what Gavin
That's
from Melbourne was telling
us.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Gavin.
All right. We have a sponsor to thank, and then we have our app caps, our favorite apps.
Get your hats ready. But first, let's talk about my doorbell.
Yes, and mine too.
Yours too?
I love my doorbell.
You have a doorbell?
I do.
Do you love your doorbell?
I do love
you
my doorbell.
You must have a ring then.
I do.
Otherwise, I don't think you'll look at that little thing hanging off your door
that kind of goes
tonk, tonk. That's going to make anybody say the word love.
No, about a doorbell? No.
No, but this definitely is, because this is a smart doorbell. This doorbell gets on your Wi-Fi, and then when your doorbell rings, it doesn't just ring in the house. It rings everywhere, on your Ring app, on your smartphone, on your tablet. And you can then say, I want to see who's at my door. Who's that knocking at my front door? And Ring has a built-in HD camera. It also has a microphone and a speaker. So you can literally say, fee, fi, fo, fum, and scare away the UPS driver. It's really great. I use Ring all the time, and I've shown you, I have Ring on my phone, I have Ring on my tablets. So not only do I not miss people at the door anymore, I also kind of know what's going on, which is pretty awesome. In fact, I can just show you my Ring doorbell activity right here. By the way, the Ring app allows you to have more than one Ring device. Right now, I only have one at the front door, although I know a lot of people want to have Ring apps on the side door, the back door. See, who's that with our cat? Somebody's stealing our cat. Come back here. Come back here with the kitty cat. So that's actually, I think that's Lisa looking for our cat. It tells you the time and everything, which is fantastic. So apparently in the middle of the night, Lisa was sleepwalking and looking for our cat. Actually, the cat came back the very next day. Have you ever heard that song?
The cat came back?
The very next day? No? It's a good song. So you can also answer the doorbell. So what? You're wearing a shark hat. I don't know why, but you can also answer the doorbell, which is cool. You can say, hello, who's there? Oh, it's your neighbor. I just picked up a package and stole it, but I'm going to put it back now because apparently you have high-definition video of me doing it. Anyway, motion detection. On and on I could go, but I won't, because you're going to get one right now. You are getting sleepy. You will go to ring.com/iOS today. You will order a Ring video doorbell for a mere $200. That way this person will not break into your house. And we will get you free FedEx expedited shipping just because you're watching. Ring.com/iOS today. I love Ring, the Ring video doorbell. I want to put one on my treehouse. I want to put one on the garden shed. It is just, why is he going through my house? See, even if he did break in the house, I'd have video of him doing it. And we know people, I think Neo in the chat room, I was talking about Neo. Didn't he have some video? Yeah,
people selling things.
Yeah, sent him away. Boom. Mm-hmm. Boom. Ring video doorbell. Ring.com/iOS today. I like that guy. There's a person talking to me.
Okay.
Oh, time for an AppCat.
I'm wearing a hat. You need to, too. Although I might need to take my hat off for my AppCat. Really,
you're a
work.
Shark.
Yes.
But I'm another predator.
Yeah.
I'm Tigger.
Shark versus Tigger on iOS today. All right. So we used the FaceSwap Live app about a month ago.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah.
No one was ever the same.
No, it was actually quite disturbing.
Now face swapping is a thing. It's the next big thing.
Well, I mentioned at the time, we're seeing all these apps, Snapchat too, mm-hmm. that can recognize your face and superimpose stuff on your face. Mm-hmm. Like, as you can see, our technical director, Anthony Nielsen, is doing putting a tiger on my head. Pretty realistic looking too, I might add. Seems to be like that suddenly got well understood, or there was a library or something, because everybody's doing it.
Yeah, it's like hoverboards. They just all...
Everybody's doing it.
No one patented it. They all came out at once.
And you know what? It's fun. I use Snapchat just for that feature.
Right, so Snapchat has a feature. And then there's an app called Masquerade. It's MSQRD, and Facebook just bought them.
Facebook bought them.
They bought the Masquerade.
Well, you know why? It's a really good app. MSQRD.
Okay, so should we swap faces?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, how we do this?
Here's my face.
You're a shark. So do I have to get my face in the donut?
Yeah, in the hole.
That is unsettling.
So, now you can take a look at that.
To say the least.
There you go.
You notice it kept the hats.
The hats, yeah. The hat it make just... it, like, we're already weird. So it's not just, so I can do a lot. So I can be crying. You can see that, okay.
This is kind of fun.
I can make myself have big eyes.
I see a lot of people using these now. I look like a keen pink. Ah! What are you doing?
Here, Anthony. Just taking a swim.
You should have used this.
Oh, the shark one is good. Oh, wow, Leo, that was awesome.
Anthony was the Joker. Uh-huh. Halloween, it sort of saved you a lot of time.
This is just a lot more fun than you should have as an adult.
What are you talking about, Megan? Is this fun?
Yeah. So the face swapping is very exciting. I think I have some more
really
examples.
I feel like I could be in the next Planet of the Apes movie.
You probably could,
You damn dirty ape.
Really, when the party gets slow, just take out your face swapping app and it gets exciting again.
Hey, man.
That's what I always say. MSQRD is free.
Yeah.
And if you need to do something while Leo's not paying attention, this is perfect app for that.
Well, that's weird. Now I have a hat on my hat. What?
Here's where Anthony and I switched.
This is very, you know what? This is just like Snapchat. Do you think Facebook's going to build this into Messenger?
I don't know what they're going to do with it. Maybe Instagram. Who knows? Instagram seems like maybe the better.
Oh, Facebook owns Instagram, too.
Yeah. Oh, that looks great. That looks really good.
Yeah,
I think I need to go change my profile picture.
I'm a tiger in a tiger. I got a tiger in my tank. Am I taking a picture?
Are you taking a video or a picture?
Oh, yes, I'm taking a picture.
And then you can easily tweet it out, which you should.
Look, this is fun.
It is.
This is fun. I love it. Hashtag MSQRD.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You could take that out if you don't want to.
Yeah. No, they ask you if you would like to, though.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. What was I? I was a little shield or something. Hello. I am very gentle and kind.
Yes, you are.
Don't get me angry, though.
I wish you could wear that face around all the time.
Do tigers have double chins? I don't think so.
That's a good one. Did you try the
poop emoji?
Ears?
Sure.
No.
Who didn't?
How about the one with the kiwi eyeballs?
Kiwi eyeballs? Oh, like I'm at the health club?
Yeah.
Don't mind me. I'm just getting a facial. It's my spa day.
There's so much I love about this app, and nothing I don't like about this app.
It is great. I hope they do more.
Yeah.
Oh, sad. That's kind of sad. No, I think it's true. I used to be, but now I'm not. I was in Kiss. Hey.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to swap faces again?
I want to rock and roll all night and party every day.
Wow. Can you swap face and add those things?
Oh, that's asking for a lot, don't you think?
Yeah, no, let's not do that. These are great. And there's quite a few of these if you want to look like a movie star.
Back in my early days, I was Captain Kangaroo.
Now, here's the thing. Is that supposed to be somebody?
No.
Not?
Just me.
Just you with a mustache and a tiger hat?
Does it look like me? I think it kind of looks like me.
Yeah, you should definitely grow that mustache for sure.
I like it. Is it adding more than a mustache?
That's what's confusing. The face swapping is very confusing to me. Because what's it really adding?
Thank heaven for little girls. Because little girls get bigger every day.
Okay, I never thought we could get creepier than normal, but yeah, creepy.
This is the best app ever. We don't even need to do... Oh, I'm sorry. We don't need to do app caps anymore.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, it's just the new filters.
Just do the app filter.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't the TriCaster do this? I bet it can.
That's good.
This is nice.
Mm-hmm. MSQRD. Masquerade, if you will. Give a kiss. You missed the give a kiss one.
Oh,
you already did that one. There's really... This is the best episode ever.
Masquerade. Oh, I have to do an app cap.
You don't. I mean, you did enough.
How could I top that?
I can't believe this is my job. I absolutely can't believe it. I love it.
I can't believe your mother is watching and thinking 4 years of college for this.
Lots of people's mothers are watching.
Didn't you go to Johns Hopkins?
I did, yeah. And I could be a leading cryptographer figuring out iMessage. And here I am.
She's wearing strange hats. So there is a YouTube star named, what is it, CPG Gray? Is that the initials? Something Gray. CPG Gray. Who does great explainer videos, really good. And I was impressed by one he did called Humans Need Not Apply. It's all about the future of jobs and how robots are going to take all of our jobs. And, there's no job they can't do. CGP Gray. He lives in England. He's Irish and American, but lives in England. There's his videos. And I was reading about how he does them, and he talked about his workflow a little bit, and he recommended a couple of iPad apps on the iPad Pro. And I flipped about the one he uses to write his scripts. It's called Editorial. Now, it's not cheap. It's about $10. But if you think what you're getting a full word processor for your iPad Pro. But it does some things that word processors don't typically do. First of all, of course, you can write just plain old text. You can import photos and stuff. But you can also write in two different languages that are really useful. Three, really. One is called Markdown. Markdown allows you to, in plain text, do formatting like bold and italics and links and so forth. That was invented by John Gruber. Task Paper is a wonderful way to do to-do lists and outlines. This was invented by Jesse Grograin at Hog Breath Software. And it's another kind of shorthand for text files. But it also, and this is really the great one, it'll do a form of Markdown for scripting. So if you want to, and then I'm sure this is what Gray uses, if you want to do scripts, by the way, it's syncing with iCloud, but it also syncs with Dropbox. So I have all of my stuff on Dropbox, including my task paper. I could just go on and on. This thing is incredibly powerful. So this is Markdown, you can see. But the third one it does is called Fountain. And what Fountain does is let you write in a very natural flow. Here, let me open is this a link to Fountain? It lets you write in a very natural flow, but then it can be formatted into the very rigid format that screenplays require. So I can download, this is plain text for a movie you might have heard of called Big Fish, and it interprets all of the stuff you type and puts it into a format that is completely compatible with screenwriting. So this is screenwriting software, task creation and outlining software, or just plain old editing software for blog posts and so forth for the iPad Pro. Mm. Really remarkable. But I haven't even scratched the surface because it does a whole lot more. It has a bunch of commands that you can add, workflows they call them. And there's a ton of workflows, everything from sorting lists to inserting footnotes to creating PDFs of anything. For instance, the Fountain to PDF will actually take a Fountain text document, output it as a PDF that would be acceptable at any Hollywood studio as a traditional screenplay format. And as I mentioned, that's very rigid and a very difficult thing to do by hand. Calculators, you can insert color. And you can write your own workflow because this comes from the creator of another app that's really great on the iPad called Pythonista. It is a Python, which is a programming language, compatible program. You can write your own workflows in Python. And this makes this the most powerful editing tool, even for a desktop. This would be an impressive tool. I have to say, I am just knocked out by this. If you're looking for a text editor, a screenplay editor, a blogging tool, a variety of tools that you can use on your iPad, and this would be particularly useful for the iPad Pro, the new one and the old one. But you can, of course, use it on the iPhone. They have iPhone versions as well. This is something to take a look at. And for $10, I think it's well worth it. just a fantastic, a very impressive program that is so much more than a text editor. And you can see I'm starting notes on my on some blog posts I've been meaning to do in here. And it's nice because I actually think this will be even better on the new iPad Pro, slightly smaller. This is hard to use on your lap, but I think you could see that. And I should mention that Gray mentions that his workflow goes from editorial to GoodNotes. And I'll give you, this will be a freebie, okay? So I can export something, anything as a PDF, and then import the PDF into GoodNotes, which is a pen enabled annotating program for PDFs that allows you to do the kinds of annotations and underlines and everything that you would do in a very natural way. He says he likes to work with his scripts. He'll create a script with a, you know, text editor, in this case editorial, but then he likes to actually create the printout version and do things like, you know, take this paragraph and move this down here, the kind of manual editing. And an iPad is very well suited to that kind of manual editing of the PDFs. So this is also not free. I think GoodNotes is $5 or $10 as well. But there's two programs that Gray uses to create his videos, and I think a lot of people would find very valuable. Editorial and GoodNotes. Those are text editing, very powerful, including Python modules, which is amazing, and GoodNotes, which is a PDF markup program that you can use hand-in-hand with the two.
Looks like GoodNotes is $7.99 on the iPhone.
That makes sense. And $10, I think, for editorial. Mm-hmm. So for under $20, you've put together a very powerful tool set that makes the iPad Pro maybe be even better than a PC. Because one of the things about writing on a PC is it's easy to get distracted. You have so many other things. I guess it's true of an iPad, too. But it's just, I think it could be a very natural environment for writing.
And if you're used to printing those, you know, paper out and writing like that, think about how many trees you save.
Isn't that a natural thing, though? I think a lot of people like to mark up their scripts and things like that. That'd be a great way to do it. So hat tip to CGP Gray, and go visit his YouTube channel. He's got some great stuff.
Yeah. Well, that concludes 5 hours of us today talking about iOS.
Has it been that long?
Well, we started at 10 with the announcement. Oh, back with the hats.
We could talk so much more.
I know. We should do this every Monday. We should start at 10.
Let's just do it all day.
All day. Well, I am going to do it for the rest of the day, but you get to go home.
TNT is coming up in about an hour, our daily news show with Jason Howell and Megan Maroney.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you catch Megan and me doing iOS Today every Monday, normally about 1:30 Pacific, 4:30 Eastern time. And remember, we're now in summertime, so that's 20:30 UTC. You'll have to make the calculation. Mm-hmm. We won't change again until the fall, or if we all stop this insanity, we may never change again. Let's just stay in daylight.
That would be nice.
Stay in daylight.
Yes.
Thanks for joining us.
All right. On iOS Today.
See you next
time.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.